You know, if he asks me to put things away, I'm going to put away all right. I'll put it away. If he asks me where it is, it's in there. Where is it at? It's one of those tubs. What color is the tub? One of those. See, but my attention isn't on the putting away. My attention is on the display. See, when I used to work all this kind of other jobs, you know, used to work in retail, and I had to do merchandising, and I had to make the store look nice and pretty because my manager was coming, and I knew if I wanted a promotion, it had to look good. Okay, don't miss this. When we all want promotion, we want everything to be right and in order and to look good. But what if that time of promotion has passed you by? Are you still striving for it? Or if you know that nobody's really watching you for your promotion, you just kind of have a tendency to just be relaxed. I said, Lord, I don't want to be so lax that I miss it. Even though I may not be displaying something for my promotion, I know that you're displaying me for my promotion. You understand? See, just because things aren't being poured out right now doesn't mean that God hasn't put you. For all to see. How are you going to transition? All the hype is gone and now you're in the middle of a season. Are you going to get promoted? I said, Lord, I know I may go through some things. How about you? Do you go through some things? Huh? Do you really go through some things? It gets to the point where you're going through so much of it, you're like, I'm through with this. I don't want to go to this. Well, the other day, he woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, had me up, and started talking about this is the third day of the new year, and it was going to be resurrection time. We're going to come out of grave. So I started asking God, well, how am I to continue on this year for my breakthrough, my breakout, and my blessing? You understand? What must I do? I pray that you ask those same questions. Because if you're like the early church, they just went and did things religiously. They did things religiously because they were told to. They were going to walk a certain way, talk a certain way, act a certain way, because that's all they knew. They went through the motions. And I don't want to go through the motions. Do you want to go through the motions? No? Y'all want real change? I want some change. I said, Lord, I don't want to go through the motions. I want to feel that you're leading me somewhere. Challenging me to do something. Challenging me for me. So I sat here at this meeting on Monday night and had my little minutes and had my little four. Like, oh, nice. That's good. Delegated some things. Certain people got to do certain things. And then I got home, and some time, I'm going to go to bed. Lord, let me sleep. Let me just sleep. So I wake up in the morning early again, and I said, God, how come I'm not sleeping all the way through? You're waking me up. I'm not able to sleep comfortably. He says, you know, you have planted many seeds. You've been tilling your ground. You've been tending to your fields. He says, but when you turn your back and you think that everything looks good, you don't know that the enemy's already come in. And you've got to be careful. He's going to try to find a way in. I'm not going to give the enemy glory. He's already defeated. You know that. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't stop trying. He's going to try one way or another. Since Sunday, all kinds of prayer requests have been coming out. All kinds. The enemy's been trying to bring some sort of mess. I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I know there's some things about our harvest that must be in order. And then he reminded me, How many of y'all have been on a long ride going down, maybe going to the coast? And then as you see that field and you look down the aisle of the field and you can go row by row. Isn't it amazing how straight it is? And if you're like me, I'm looking at it and I'm like this. Man. And then you try to look ahead and then you follow another row. You know, and I said, God, why are you showing me this? He says, even the greatest farmers in agriculture, they know that you just can't throw it wildly. You got to put things in order. Even the seed must put in order. Okay, hold up now, hold up. You just can't put two pieces of seed together in the same spot. It's got to be spaced out. I said, Lord, that's some good stuff there. That's good. What else are you going to show me? He says that even though you can cut some things off in your life and shed some things off, there's got to be some order to it. There's got to be some order. I said, yeah, but these farmers nowadays, they got those big old machines. Seen those big old machines out there? Well, look at that, I got those big old machines. Like I was watching this movie one time. What was the name of that movie where they were running? McFarland or whatever like that. They were runners. Forrest Gump. All right, now. Forrest Gump, run, Forrest. No, not that one. McFarland, you know, where they're the runners from California. McFarland, okay. Now, you remember, did you see where the coach had to go with them? Y'all haven't seen? Y'all got to see this thing. It's on Netflix. All right, listen. So this particular movie, this guy, he takes on this role as a coach for long distance running. He's not a running coach. But he takes it and he goes, well, I'm going to apply the things that I've learned and show these guys how to do it. But he was realizing something, that these runners, they could run and run and run and run. They had so much stamina, but they were always leaving early or leaving late or getting up to practice late because they worked the fields. And they were picking... Was it cotton? I thought it was fruit. Okay, well, they were picking cotton? They were picking cotton? Made of cotton. It was strawberries. It was strawberries. It was fruit. They were picking fruit. Now, watch this. They weren't doing it by hand. Early in the morning. And then they got to get up and then head to school in a hurry for practice, then go to school, and then practice after school, and then hurry up back home and do it all over again. Because if somewhere down the line they didn't do it, family members weren't going to have food. You see, they were conditioned to do it. There was no big machines. I said, Lord, I know that I couldn't do that one. I couldn't do that. And they show them piling up in a big old truck because the ingenuity they had. It wasn't Via. It was a truck, a whole bunch of them. And they would jump out, and they'd go out there, and they'd pick with their hands, and they would load with their hands. So one day the coach goes and tries it with them. Coach hasn't been conditioned. So the coach said, wait a minute now. Listen, you do this by hand? For how long? Because he filled one basket up. He said, how many more we got? He goes, we have all of that. See, he learned something different about them. He learned about what they had to go through, what they were conditioned for. Are we being conditioned for a harvest? Are we being conditioned for a harvest? I know we're being conditioned for a harvest because we've been picking. It's like at some point, God, you're going to allow me to get up off of this ground and allow me to get into my position. But I've been working this land. I've been working this line. I've been doing these things. I've been faithful to do it. I'm not swaying left to the right. I'm going to stay on my course. But I'm ready to get up. Aren't you ready to get up?
Yes,
I'm ready to get up. Tired of getting all that dirt in my fingernail. Messing up my manicure. Shoot. Someone want to pay for a manicure? I go. Is that right, baby? I go. I like that. Especially when they get to your feet. I've never seen a cheese grater that big. But listen. He's prepping us for a great harvest. But we can't stop in between. But listen, what about if you're in this process for so long and you lose sight of the fact to give him praise while you're doing it? Because we can get so tired of doing the same thing over and over that we think that our praise doesn't matter anymore. Our praise is necessary. And I hope you understand why it's necessary. Turn with me to Luke 17, please. Luke 17, 11. Say, Pastor, you preached on this before. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now, this is about the 10 lepers. How many of y'all know about the story about the 10 lepers? Y'all know about the story about the 10 lepers? Only one came back. Lord. 10 lepers. 17, Luke 17. All right, when you're there, say amen. Luke 17, verse 11. Verse 11. Remember, God is prepping us. He's getting us ready. Are you there? Luke 17, 11. You there? Amen? Not everybody there. Luke 17, 11. You there? I'm glad you're there. How many of you say a prayer Thanksgiving for your meal? Do you give thanks to the Lord, or thank you, Jesus, for the amen? I'm guilty of it. I don't get to amen. The plate just gets put right on. Amen. Or it's on the way to the table. Amen. Right? Amen. And then all of a sudden the plate don't even hit the table and the fork's already going right to it. You know, it's just a quick amen. Thank you, Jesus. And then I look over at my kids and before I can even see the amen, the food's in their mouth. Mama's getting ready to sit down and she's like, did y'all say your prayers? We're like, mm-hmm. And I see Mama put her head down. Watch this. I see Mama put her head down. Lord, thank you for the food we're about to receive. I thank you that you have made it nourishment to our mind, body, spirit, and soul. I look it over at Mama. I said, Mama, pray that day. Pray that day. By the time she finishes her prayer, I'm ready for seconds. So, but what I'm saying is we have got to give thanks for everything. Right? Everything. But not take for granted. Amen. Thank you for the bean and cheese tacos. You know, like Wednesday nights when we wind up at Mama Margie's. I don't know how many of those bowls of chips we go through. We go through so many of those chips. And we go to they see us come to the register. How many bean and cheese tacos does the church want today? Give me 40. Two pitchers of water. You think I'm lying? And then we send the kids to go get the tacos. All tacos. And then you see all these little boats of pico de gallo, all kinds of hot sauce. And we have a feast. So then, you know, they're wrapped in foil. Then all of a sudden, you know, I get two foil things right in front of me. Amen. Start to eat. I see my mama over there. Did y'all say your prayers? And it's loud in there. Because you know how. Did y'all say your prayers? Joshua, mm-hmm. Hannah's over there. Yes, Mom. Mine is, Lord. I just want to thank you for this time of fellowship. And Mama Margie, you are my provider. She, you know, and it's just being in cheese. But see, she does it faithfully. Faithfully. Whoops my butt when I don't do it. Really? You're not going to say, and you're the pastor? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Josh, put the taco down, y'all. You know, because we get in a hurry. I said, Lord, I've got to learn to give thanks to you again. Lord, I thank you. From a pico de gallo. And this queso that Josh went to go get. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm telling you something. We've been doing this for a while now. But we can get so caught up in not really give thanks. And that's when the Lord was telling me, he says, son, you better be grateful now. Because when what you're asking for comes, will you lose focus? I said, Lord, don't take my bean and cheese. Luke 17:11, you there? Amen. Let's start reading verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Watch this, this small little sentence. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, and your faith has made you well. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, let us not be like the 9, but let us be like the 1. Let us be the ones that know how to give gratitude unto you, to give our praise unto you, our worship unto you, to keep you first in our life. Father, let us be that 1, Father. Let us not be like the other 9 that will continually cry out for a blessing, and when they get it, don't go back to the 1 that gave it. Lord, we thank you that you keep us in your hand. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. As I began to read this, I said, Lord, I want to make sure that I do justice with this word. And he says, what keeps people from getting closer to him? What keeps people from getting closer to God? Sin, condemnation, distraction. What was that? Pain. Not praying. Huh? Time. Time? Oh, like not making time. Okay, watch this. But Jesus is walking towards Jerusalem. And when you read in scripture where it says Jerusalem, it represents the church. So he's walking towards Jerusalem and he finds these 10 lepers. Where does he find them? Outside of the city. On the way, right? It's not even named. How many times have we been in a place that we don't even know where we're at? But Jesus still comes by. Okay, hold up now. Jesus knew where he was going. See, the law required for the lepers to just be outside of the city. Now, we understand that the Levitical law is that when somebody has a disease of leprosy, they could not be around the people. They had to be outside the city gate. Well, we understand that. Many of us understand that Levitical law was in place to keep everybody else from getting sick. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. These weren't little boys. These were men. Jesus is coming walking, and they see and hear that Jesus, the Jesus Christ, that has healed many, they start with a loud voice crying out. You read that, right? How many times has your situation made you cry out loud for God? Oh, yeah, it's going to make you cry out, Lord, help me. You got to help me. I'm all the way out here. I got my wife at home, my kids at home. Think about it. I can't go anywhere near them. I've been kicked out of my own home. I've been kicked out of my own city. I can't even go in and get things for myself. If I want to go in and go and get something to eat, they have to leave the food outside the gates of the city. And I have to be like a dog and go scavenge for it. You see, what happens is many times we get something on us and we don't realize that we've been outcast. What has gotten on you through the course of your life that is keeping you further and further away from God? And you know, when people would walk by, when they would see a leper, you know what they would say? You don't know what they would say? Say it again, sir. Say it again. Was that how they would say it? Say it again. Say it, John.
Unclean.
Say it again.
Unclean.
Say it again.
Unclean.
Listen. How many times have you been walking in your circumstance and someone label you? They label you because of your circumstance. They label you because of what you've been going through. You've been trying to hide some things, or maybe you didn't even know that you had something, but people have labeled you. Labeled you with the name and said, unclean! Unclean! They were instructed to yell that out every time they saw someone with leprosy. So now, can you imagine the lepers that are walking around? Unclean! How many times are people going to start labeling you for the issue that's in your life? Mm-hmm. Do I label them? Do I say the labels, or are you good with them? No? You saying? Oh, you harlot, you whore. I asked permission first. Uh-huh. You adulterer. You druggie. You ain't nothing but a pimp. Nothing but a player. Yeah. Trying to find someone in church thinking they're going to make things better for you. They're worse off than you. Because they're hiding somewhere. But you see, there's labels that are put on us when there's some circumstances in our life. People are watching us at all times. All the time. You think you can hide somewhere. They're going to find you. They're going to get in your business. And they're going to tell about your business. And you're not going to like it because they're going to tell you truth. But God is trying to get you in line for your harvest. But we think that when truth comes, it's a label of who we are. See, now we're in a season now where God says, I'm going to show you what's been on you. That you've been accustomed to. To being outside. From my presence. You see, there's so many things that we go through. So many things that either we choose to do. The sins of commission. Man, you You knew you were going to sin. No, you knew you were going to commit that sin. When conviction is not in you concerning what you're about to do that is sinful, you're in the worst that you could ever be in. Because now what you're doing is rejecting the Holy Spirit. Now there is sins of omissions. That I didn't know that was a sin. It was just a little grape. It was just a donut. You know, whatever it is. You know, whatever it is. I'm not telling myself because I can only get better than that. See, if y'all don't know me, man, I like sweets. Y'all don't know that. See, but I like sweets. And John, I had a tendency to walk through H-E-B. In the day, Paya. There used to be these brownies that used to be in this one section, and I knew those brownies tasted different than every other brownie. So I'd walk through the grocery store, the Lord is good, and I would eat my brownie. Walk on. Purchase everything but the thing that I ate, because I couldn't scan it. So I got to the point now, I said, Lord, I didn't know that was a sin. Liar. I know, Lord. I don't want to lose that conviction for those brownies. I need you to speak to my spirit. Convict me. I'm going to go for the donut. You see, we try to reason with our sin. I'm making light of it. You don't want to hear truth. You want to call and talk about every single one of your brothers and sisters on the phone to other people. I want to talk about the sin that's in their life, what they've been going through, what kind of issues that they have. I didn't know that was a sin. I was just telling people so they could pray for them. No, you weren't. You were gossiping. And when you gossip, all you're doing is tearing down the church. That sin's a commission. You knew it. But you want to say, oh no, I was just bringing what was unrighteous to light and sharing with them so they can make right. Well, why didn't you go directly to the source? No, you gotta go someplace else. You don't want to go and find out if it's true or not. You want to go and tell everybody else that it is true. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do that no more. I want to make sure that when something checks my spirit, I hold on and I don't act upon it. I ask God to show me if I don't know. But if I do know, call me to repentance so I don't do it again. Oh, we're in an age now where it's okay as long as you love them. As long as you love them, it's all right. How does a wolf get in sheep's clothing? Did y'all miss that one? How does a wolf get into sheep's clothing? They get in relation with the sheep. I know there's some children in the house. Relation means relations. You only get into a sticky situation when you get into relations with the wolf. And the wolf tells you everything you want to hear. The wolf tells you everything you think you're supposed to. Because the wolf has been near the sheep long enough to know the talk, know the walk, know how to dress, know when to respond. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Hey! They've been around the sheep long enough. That's the only way the wolf comes in. If the sheep was to really know that that was a wolf, the sheep would have been running. But there was something in the sheep body what was in the womb. We've been trying to say, I'm going to get my breakthrough. Don't worry about this extracurricular activity over here. We were sweeping under the rug. That rug got a big old lump in it. You ain't even paid attention to it. You've been sweeping so many things under that rug. It's got a big old lump in it. It's got a name called Sancho. Sancho. And you wondered, oh, how'd that get there? You were in relation with Sancho and Sancho. How does the wolf get into the sheepfold? And y'all want to blame the shepherd? I'm happy. I'm happy. You know how the wolf gets in the sheepfold? Can I get those youngsters back there, Jim? Come on. Come on, prophet. Come on, Aiden. And yeah, you too, John Michael. Yeah, y'all too. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, baby. Come on. Miracle. Come on, miracle. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Now, who wants to be the wolf? Who wants to be the wolf? Who wants to be wolf? Wolf, 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 wolf. Come on, come on, Triton. Come on, Triton, be the wolf. Watch this, watch this. Triton, go over there behind Josh. Watch this, watch this. Now, the wolf has come in, but has waited from a distance to begin to watch and mimic the actions of the sheep. So that when he calls the sheep over, he doesn't howl like a wolf. He baas like a sheep. So then they get distracted. Go over there, go over there, call him. Go over there, call him, call him. Come on, Rico Suave, call him. Call him. Call him. Call him. Now gather around him, gather around him, gather around him, gather around him. Watch this, now watch this. Now that all the sheep have covered the wolf, the shepherd is looking and seeing the sheep because the wolf has already come in the fold to act just like the sheep. Oh, I might just want to just stop right here. Ooh, because in 2016, the church isn't going to be able to connect with the wolves anymore. Because what's going to happen is now the true shepherd is going to come and pull the wolf out and expose the wolf and show the sheep that you've been having relations with the wolf. They didn't know any different because he began to look and act just like him. So they began to follow after the wolf. Follow, 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 follow. They start following the wolf. Watch this. Stop where you're at right there. Stop where you're at. Go ahead, Mary. Go ahead, Mary. Go ahead. Go ahead. Now watch. We've had the church follow wolves for too long. It's not the shepherd's fault. It's the sheep's fault for aligning themselves with the wolf. Being in relations enough, long enough that the wolf looks just like one of them. Ooh. But now when a shepherd comes in, you're out of order for following what you knew was wrong. Now watch what the sheep do. Oh no, see, he shouldn't be coming and telling us stuff like that. We're just going to go with him. And then you see people getting wounded, hurt, and destroyed. Pastor, we were talking about the lepers. Now how'd you get to the wolf and the sheep? Pastor, you got that ADDDDDDD. Listen here, listen here. What has happened for too long in the body of Christ is the wolf has watched the actions of the church. So now when the sheep are saying, we're going to get our breakthrough. We'll get our breakthrough. Like the state of the church is in right now. Yeah, we can get a breakthrough. Yeah, we heard that last year. We had a breakthrough. Heard that in the past 6 years. Remember when I started off here, it was breakthrough. Watch this. That now, the wolf begins to say the same thing. It stays in the fold. And we put that responsibility on the shepherd. And the shepherd's been trying to get to the wolf, but guess what's been blocking the shepherd? Come block me from him. Watch this. Saying, why did you hurt me? I was trying to change him. Why did you come against me? I was speaking truth to him. Why are you stopping me? For I must love my neighbor. Watch this. We are not to reject the sinner. We're to embrace the sinner. See all the blocking is coming? So now when the shepherd wants to get to the wolf to get the wolf out the way, all the sheep are stopping the shepherd from doing his job. That's been the state of mind for the church for too long. Oh, let me not lose my tithers. Let me not lose the ones that are faithfully in their giving. Because if you really want to know the truth who the wolf goes after, the wolf goes after the anointed. Oh, goes after the leaders. You think he's going after the weak. Because if he can get the whole fold, he's going to get the whole fold. What he's trying to do is get the shepherd to leave. So he'll send out a decoy. He'll send out a decoy. Oh, you wounded him. So the shepherd now has to go over there because of offense to try to gain him back into the fold. And the wolf has taken the whole fold. That's the trick of the enemy. Oh, I'm so sorry that I wounded you and offended you. I'm sorry, come back and we'll put you right back where you belong. See, here's the thing. God's been trying to get the shepherd to deal with the wolf the whole time. But the sheep want to have relation. What does the Bible say about sin? It feels good. We're so caught up in the feel-good messages. Make me feel good. 1 hour long services. And not deal with my sin issues. That we can never deal with the wolf that's in the fold. So the Lord says, listen, I'm going to put things in order. And I am going to put the church back in order. How does he put the back in? By revealing what needs to be dealt with. Do you understand? He said, I ain't going to go and deal with the wolf. The wolf knows who he is. He knows his plan. I need to let the sheep know what could happen if they continue to follow after the wolf. Because if we don't do that, then the wolf continues to run the church. And that wolf has a name. Do you know what the name is? Jezebel. All right, sheep, y'all can go have a seat. Sheep, go have a seat. Let's deal with this wolf now. Oh, Lord. Now all of a sudden rebuke came in love, rebuke, love. And things were spoken to the sheep. Now that the wolf is revealed and the wolf has a name called Jezebel that wants to cause division, dissension, and wants to usurp authority, when you come against that spirit and you deal with that spirit, then you begin to loose what has been on hold over your church. But the way you identify is by speaking truth and calling the church to repent. I'm going to get my breakthrough and get my breakthrough. My fruit is coming. Hallelujah. What do you mean I got to repent? What do you mean I got to go to the cross and repent? Lord, you said that all my sins were covered by your blood. Oh, you don't think the wolf knew how to use that one? Ooh, this someone ain't gonna like this one. Here, look at here. Pastor, you know you can't be talking to them that way. You know, you're Jezebel, you're telling them. You can't talk to them that way. Because then they're gonna leave. And then you'll never get the church to fill up. Then you'll never be able to move. Oh, I got to watch what I say. I got to watch what I say. Because I got to make sure that I fill the church. Oh, I got to watch that they don't take out the tithers that are faithful. And not even considering the fact that you're responsible for their soul. So now it's the point. Now, Jezebel... gots to go. You don't belong here no more. You're not going to mess with the sheep no more. Matter of fact, since you've been found out, I'm putting this thing back in order. And I'm going to get rid of some things. So you and all your little workers of iniquity, I bind you now in the name of Jesus and I command you to go. Now watch this. Now what takes place now by putting things in order into perspective, that the labels that has been over you have now been removed. Do you see that? Because the enemy has been just trying to come in to persuade you to go in different directions. See, when the lepers were there crying out, they were crying out for healing. They knew they, out of their need, they cried out. They cried out of the need. On the way back to Jerusalem, because he said, go present yourself to the priest. Because the priests were the ones to say, okay, you're clean. So on the process of walking to Jerusalem, everything that was labeled on them, everything that they once were associated with, was now falling off. And imagine them as they're walking in now into Jerusalem, nobody's yelling, unclean, unclean. The labels came off. Now, can you imagine someone that had been sitting there for so long, being outcast away from their wives, their family, their friends? Can you imagine how that made them feel? Oh my God, I'm accepted again. I'm accepted back to where I once was. And I can go now in and show myself to the priest. Hurry, hurry. Look, it's gone. Look, it's gone. And don't even give Jesus praise. So I imagine that the one, there's always one. One. There's always one type of Christian. That in the process of them crying out, I need you, God. I need you. Have mercy on me. Because I acknowledge I need mercy. You know what mercy is, right? Because you know you're wrong. You know you're in something that you shouldn't be in. Cries out, have mercy on me. I don't want to be this way no more. I can't live my life this way anymore. Have mercy on me. But they cried from afar, not up close. So when that one got healed along the way, never made it to the high priest. Didn't say he made it to the high priest. When he realized that he was cleansed, he turned around, ran back. Scripture says that he loudly praised Jesus. See, we can get so loud in our need and our desperation for God to come in, God to help us in our circumstance. But what about when he does it in the process? Are you willing to turn around and go back to the one that healed you and get into his presence? He got into his presence and he was a Samaritan. The mere fact that he was a Samaritan, not a leper, told him he couldn't be there. There was a double negative. I'm a Samaritan and I'm a leper. There's two strikes already. So I'm going to go give thanks to the one. Jesus, before he said anything, were there not nine? 10? Where's the other 9? See, God wants everybody to give thanks. Everyone. See, but the other 9 got healed from a distance. The only one that got in his presence was the one. There's only one that came to his feet. There's only one that fell down at his feet. There was only one that was in his very presence enough that he said, go, your faith has made you whole. No longer was it just now his skin. It was also his spirit and his soul was made whole. The other 9 were healed, but didn't get revelation of the one that healed him. The Samaritan realized, that's the high priest. That's the one that matters. That's the one that makes me clean. That's the one that can declare me clean. So he got into the presence, fell at his feet, and gave him praise loudly. Praise. Thank you. Thank you. Can you imagine him now? Now I'm going to go see my wife. Now I'm going to go see my kids. Oh, now this house is going to serve the one that I've encountered. Y'all hear me? Now my house will serve the Lord. Not the one that has kept me out of the city and away from you, because that's the law. But the God that I encountered in my circumstance, the one that I encountered in the place that had no name, the one that I encountered where I had to live with a label on my life as a sinner and unclean, I'm going to serve that God, and my house is going to serve that God that says, you are made whole. Do you understand what takes place when you're going and you're crying out to God? He may heal you from a distance, or he may see fit to come in right into your presence and touch you. You have to determine not to quit in the process. Because there's a process to everything that God is doing. There's a process in us weeding out the wolves in the church as a whole. Quit looking around. They're not in here. Because if they is, you're dealing with the Mexican preacher. We're going to talk. We're going to talk for real. I told God I wasn't going to let another soul enter into the house of manna and not experience him. So don't let me get it twisted. Telling you all the promises, but not telling you how to obtain them. We got to deal with us, guys, us. We have to deal with how we are in relation to him. You know, it's good to make all the declarations and say that this is what the Lord says and this is what he's going to do. But if your life doesn't line up to his word doesn't lie. You do. We do. But his word is truth. Sin is sin. You want to keep on committing it? You will cry out for mercy. You will cry out for mercy. We've gotten so far away from this mercy message that we're so far into the grace message. So many people are willing to give their life to Christ now because, oh, what? I can keep on committing my sin? And the reality is, no, we have to change. We have to. Heard great testimonies of ministry. Y'all know the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke? He gave his testimony about one of the crusades he did. A 3-day crusade that he did. Over that 3-day course of that conference. Did I tell you over 3 million? Over 3 million souls given over to the Lord. 3-day conference, crusade. Over 3 million souls confirmed conversions. Confirmed conversions. That's a celebration all by itself. It didn't end there. He said at the end of each one of those services, at the altar when they converted, he says, now all of you that converted over to Jesus Christ, I want you to, with a loud voice, give honor and praise to Jesus. He says, and at the count of three, I want you to shout unto the Lord. And they would shout. He said, every single one of them got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Over 3 million newly converted souls got baptized in the Holy Ghost. 3 million plus souls got baptized with the Holy Ghost at the altar of change. Now he's telling this story here in the States about what took place overseas. And that checked my spirit. That how come we stand here inviting people to come to the altar to give their life to Christ and they stay in their seat because they're afraid to stand up before the Lord? I said, Lord, we can't be a nation that is afraid to acknowledge you. We can't be a nation that says, I love you, Jesus, in my seat and at home, but in the street and in public, I don't want to acknowledge that I'm a Christian. It checked my spirit. I said, Lord, I don't want to be that type of church. It's time to make our lives right and do it right now. We don't know the hour or the day when he's going to come. And if you want to play around with grace, there's going to be a moment in time where you will cry out for mercy. And that mercy is going to be to the one that says, my grace is sufficient, but it's about time you change your ways. It's about time you quit playing with my grace and my blood. You get in line and put things in order. Then you will see a harvest in the church like never before. So I purposed in my heart, any one of you that sit here today that have been hiding under that rug, now's your opportunity to get it right with God. If you want to cry out for mercy, for the one that can bestow the mercy upon you, say, Lord, all the stuff that I've done, the things that I've known that I've done, but I've been using grace as a ticket to sin. Now's your time to stand. Now's your time to stand. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. We all have it. We want to see the Lord move in a mighty way for revival, but we don't want to be honest with our sin. We don't want to be honest that we have fallen short of the glory of God. I said, Lord, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to be that ministry. I'm not going to be that pastor. I'm going to be the one that's going to tell you, your soul means so much to him that you can't continue living this way, following after a wolf and having relations after a wolf, but keeping the relationship from the shepherd at bay. We have got to begin to say, God, I need you to change my life. Change the way I'm thinking, the way I'm acting, the way I'm being, my choices that I make. We need God to come in like never before. But when the church thinks that they're all got it together, that there ain't no sin amongst them, that's where the enemy has you tripped up. There is sin in each and every one of us. But when we think that we have it together, I'm covered by the blood. The judgment of your sin is covered. You yourself need to repent and turn from the wicked way. Not continuing it. Not continue doing the same thing, talking the same way, acting the same way. Because watch this, the plague will find you. When I began to pray today, I said, Lord, I sense that there is a move of the God of the Old Testament. Everybody's declaring all this goodness. I declare it as well. But I told you on Sunday, it'd be one thing for me to tell you you're going to get it and not tell you you got to cleanse yourself. Clean yourself up. Get rid of the stuff that we put on us and the things that people put on us. So as we stand here right now, as a people of God, with every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, your precious people stand right now. I stand right now, Father. I stand with them. My sins of commission, my sins of omission. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to continue living in a way that may displease you. I want to make sure, God, that everything that I do, God, pleases you. That my life lines up with your word. Line upon line and precept upon precept. That your word is true. Now, Father, right now, I just pray for your mercy upon the people of God. I thank you that you touch them. Touch them, God. Touch them and reveal with the conviction of the Holy Spirit what lies within, what has been upon, and what they're near, God. What they're drawing to. And every confusing spirit that is amongst them, Father God, I bind it now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just release your very mercy upon them, God. Upon me. Upon the people of God. Let them come under the hand of God. Let them feel you, God. Feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit to guide us in the right direction. Not to be led by our spirit, not to be led by our soulish realm, but to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Let us put things back in order. Let us fall under the very thing that you called us to do, God. It's to be a people of repentance, to be a people of prayer, to be a people that will learn how to walk in your ways. We're not perfect, but we're being made perfect in you. It's not our righteousness, but it's your righteousness, God. Father, I thank you for the very blood that covers us and washes away every sin. But Lord, feel through the illumination of your word, God. Make them hungry for your word. Let them get back into your word, God. Let them begin to have a desire to read your word and have understanding. Many won't read your word, God, because they don't understand. Open their eyes of their understanding so they can understand, Lord, your word. Lord, I thank you right now that you reveal to them. Speak to them and help them. In the process, God, that we can get the church back in order as a whole. As a whole, God. I thank you for it now. I bless you. And if you feel the Holy Spirit saying, get to the altar, then come to the altar. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Speak to them, Lord. Speak to them. Speak to them. Thank you, Father. Renewing of their mind. Renewing of the mind right now, Father. Renewing of the mind. Touch, oh God. Father, we just thank you right now for each and every individual that has stepped forth. And they said they acknowledge right now, Father God. They've acknowledged as they come to the very altar of God to alter their life, alter their steps, alter their walk, God, as they alter it in you. Father, I just thank you right now as you begin to move forward, oh God, and touch the very lives of them, God. You touch their hearts, Lord. Touch their mind. Open their eyes with their understanding, God. Let them see that they've got to get right with you, Lord. Lord, I know myself, God, to get right with you. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm just a man, just like everybody else. And if I fall short, God, I fall short. I thank you right now, God, for each and every person that is standing here right now. That we're saying we're not going to do this again. We're not going to do this no more. We're changing the way we see it. We're changing the way we do. We're changing the way we interact. We're not going to be the same people anymore. We're not going to be the way we once were. We're moving into a new dimension in you, God. God, I just thank you right now that you touch the very soul of them, oh God. Transform their mind. Transform them right now in this process, God. God, I thank you that right now you can even speak to them at a distance and cleanse the leper of every issue and every disease and everything that's upon them. That you can remove everything that has been put on them, the labels that the doctors put on them, Father God. The labels that the doctors even declared in their lives. The labels are being removed, God. Being removed. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God. Thank you, Father God, even the iniquities of the forefathers are being removed even right now, Lord. Even when they don't even understand what keeps following them, what's on them, the iniquities of their forefathers are broken right now. Those that have been violated at a young age, violated. Restore, Father God, their innocence. Restore their innocence to them. Restore, oh God, restore. Let us be in that place, God, of restoration in our heart, mind, spirit, and soul. Father God, even those that may have been outcast, even from their own family members, God, call them back together in you. Let them be called back together in you, God. Let them be called back together in you, God. Let it not be that they're the outcast anymore. They're together with you, God. They're not outcast from their own family members, mother, fathers, daughters, and brothers, Lord, that have outcasted them. Say no more. But God, that you bring them back together. Restore the family. Restore them together, oh God. Lord, we thank you. In this very precious moment, God, at the very altar of change, I thank you, God. I thank you for them, and I bless them, God. I bless what you're doing, oh Lord. And I thank you, God, that we won't be the same. Now, Father, I remove all condemnation off of their life right now in the name of Jesus. All condemnation off of their life, Lord, out of their mindset, out of their soul. They are no longer labeled that of a sinner, no longer labeled that the one that is called short, the one that can't do it. They are the ones that can in you, for they can do all things through Christ that strengthens them. God, I thank you right now. I thank you right now, and I bless what you're doing, oh God. Have your very way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, sweet Jesus. Sweet, sweet, precious Jesus. I thank you for the very touch, oh God, that removes the very ailment off of their life that sin has covered up. God, I'm not praying for a sinner. I'm praying for the righteous. For you are righteous in them. They are no longer sinners because of your blood, your death and resurrection. They're not sinners, God. They may be tempted, but they're not sinners. They may commit, but they're not sinners. I remove that label off of them. But Father, I thank you that the righteousness shall walk in the ways of the Lord. That you will order their steps and they walk right in it, oh God. And I thank you for every gift that has been dormant, God, is revived right now. Revived. Unlock and come forth. What the enemy has meant for evil, God, you're turning it for their good. Oh God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that anger and bitterness is removed. Resentment and unforgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Abandonment and rejection. We bind it at its very root right now in Jesus' mighty name. And we cancel it right now. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You're not rejected. You haven't been abandoned. You've not been forgotten. You were set apart, but you felt like you were abandoned. You felt like you were misled, mistreated. You were set apart. You were set apart. Yes. You were set apart. Yeah. That's it. Oh, Lord, we thank you, oh God. Yes. That's it. That's when you really let it go. You gotta acknowledge it. That's it. When you're set apart, you feel like you're isolated. You feel like you can't mount up to anything that what they've held you to. But the Spirit of God says that I have called you and I have appointed you. And you will do what I've called you to do. There's healing in your body. Healing in your body, says the Spirit of God. There's healing in your body. Oh, there's healing in your body. Have your way. There's healing in your body. Have your way. There's a creative miracle. There it is. Oh, there it is. You've been wounded deep, deep, deep. From the very depths, I uproot it now in Jesus' mighty name. Have your way, Lord. I'm about to reveal unto you truth. I'm about to reveal to you what needs to be revealed. And you will see that I have anointed you and appointed you for such a time as this. Beloved, get into my very presence more often than not. And you will begin to see that I will reveal to you your true identity. Your true identity. I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to stretch you, says the Spirit of God. I break off every influence that is around you. Every influence has come nigh unto you. I destroy it at its very roots, says the Spirit of God. I declare right now liberty, liberty, liberty in Jesus' mighty name. Father, have your way in her life, Lord. Have your way, oh God. Even though she's called, even though she knows she's appointed by you, it's still a lonely place, God. And in that place of loneliness, God, she has even cried out to you even the more. At times she feels like she's the leper, Father God, that is misunderstood, been an outcast, can never fit in, can never be within the others. God, now speak to her, O Lord, to the depths of her soul, God, and reveal to her that being sanctified and separated and called apart is because I've called you to be a remnant in this hour. But beloved, I call those to rally with you and to rally around you, and you will have the helpers be around you. You will see that out of your mouth shall come the fire of Almighty God. I have given you the vision to show you that in these last days, you will bring many to the knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ. But Father, I thank you that the rejection and the abandonment has come off. Now, in the name of Jesus, you are accepted by the Father. You're accepted by the Father, says the Spirit of God. You're accepted. You're not an outcast, says the Spirit of God. Go and show thyself clean unto the priest, says the Spirit of God. My God. It says your faith has made you whole. Whole and restored. You've spent more time on the road back and forth to your hometown. Yeah. Your spiritual father from your church is going to begin to call on you. Say, I've had you in my spirit. I've had you in my prayers. Hallelujah. Let him do it, girl. Let him do it. Let him do it. Let him do it. Trust him in it, girl. Trust him in it. You try to be strong, but you can't be strong anymore. You've tried it on your own. You've tried many things to be successful. The Spirit of God says it's not that you're not doing it right. But you need to be in my presence. You need to get there. There's a cry for you, beloved. A cry. Father, bring her home to you. Let her be in your very arms, God. Where it's changed, God. Yes. Yes. That's it. That's it. Oh, there it is. Yes. Yeah, I know you want her. You want her there to help you. wants to restore you. He wants to restore you. He's given you charisma. Charisma is a gift, a charismatic gift, to bring others into that light. A youth light to draw them to Him. To Him. I will open up the doors, and I'm about to shut some doors on you. Yield unto me. Yield. Bless you, sweet Jesus, we thank you for the faithfulness, Lord. For the faithfulness. I thank you that you continue to show her truth. She's asking for ways to minister, ways to penetrate, ways to get into the very things that have caused her to be felt like she's been locked away. God, just speak, oh Lord, speak. She's listening. She wants more. Yes. You won't be alone. You won't be alone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Will He be with me to experience it? Will He be with me to experience the things that I experienced before it's too late? Yes, beloved. Your faithfulness unto me, says the Spirit of God. I will draw him even closer and near her. The wounding that has taken place, I will remove the pain. But know this, he will not be taken advantage of, says the Spirit of God. And you won't be taken advantage of either. Turmoil, the anxiety. You're tired, sir. You're tired. You can't continue this way. Especially with the baby on the way. It can't be this way when she arrives. She's got to know that her and the baby's going to be fine. See, you carry a lot on your shoulders, Will. And you want so many things to come in order, to come into an order of peace and love. And it's frustrating you. It's got you to the point you don't want to even go near anymore. It doesn't even feel good there. Love, I'm here to tell you that God has already purposed right now to bring healing in the home. And your sister's moving here to San Antonio. She's moving here to San Antonio with that baby. And you're going to be very active. Very active in this life. But you got to let some things go, man. You're tired of holding things on. Trying to hold things together when you yourself can't get things to be put where it needs to be. You're more worried now about your daddy even making it to see your future. He's going to live and not die, and he will see you do good things. He will see you step into ministry. He will see you do the things that you told him that you were going to do. He will see you graduate college. Heaviness that your brother has in his heart, the anger that he gets, there's going to be healing there concerning him and his dad. There will be. You've always wanted that to be something that you could spend time together like that without having that animosity there. See, the more you continue to go after God, you made that choice, he started working behind the scenes. He's very pleased with you. Very pleased with you. But you got to let that weight go. You can't carry it. Cast all your cares upon me, says the Spirit. Cast them all. No, I got your daddy. I got your mama. And the one that's really hard hit, I'm working in him. You soften. I'm getting it. He's been calling out to me, says the Spirit. He's trying to get things right before the baby comes too. Because he doesn't want to be the one that keeps running. You'll see. You'll feel the difference in that. Things are changing. Why does it have to be the only one in my house that I'm chasing that and they're not chasing? Why does it have to be me and that I'm ridiculed for going after and trying to make change in my life? Keep going after it. You made the right choice. Because you did it right. It's like everything he prayed was everything that I go through, everything that I suffer. How many times do I got to say, that's me, that's me, that's me? Lord, you already know, God. You already know. Lord, I just thank you for the peculiar relationship that you have with her. She didn't want to be like everybody else anyway. She didn't want to fit in like everybody else. You called her to be separated, set apart. Not just as an intercessor, but as a child of God. Lord, many have come to her for advice, and at times she's asked, where's the ones that are going to listen to me? I've got issues. I need someone to listen to me. I'm having to carry the load, and yet no one's listening to my problems. I need to vent at times, God, and I'm always venting at you, and I think that you're getting mad at me. But I thank you, Lord, that you hear her cries. You see that she is tired. You see that she's been laboring and laboring in her field, God. Wondering, where is it? That everything that's been prophesied in my life. Where is it, God, everything that you showed me in my dreams? Everything that you showed me in my writings, God. Where is it? Lord, let her see that the toil is not in vain. Let her see, God, that you'll bring her to the fullness that you have called her to be. She won't be alone. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. That's it. You have a lot to offer, Jennifer. Yeah, that's crazy. I see two of y'all just head banging in the car. That's funny. I mean, I know you, but I see both of you just enjoying it. And that's your question, God. Can I find the man that understands me and loves God like I love God? Are there any left? God, I thank you that you're bringing them from afar. I thank you that you're sending them this way, God. I thank you that when he walks in the shirt, that inside of her, he would be like the baby that leaped, God, that knows, that the knower knows. God, that it won't be funny. It will be something that you have ordained. God, I just thank you that she's already cried out. I can't be like this all the time. I can't continue to go this way and do this anymore, God. I need my help meet here. Now, God, I thank you for the fruition of it now in Jesus' mighty name. God, I thank you for her. In Jesus' mighty name. Let it be so as your word and as you declare, God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in the house. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people, God. But I thank you that you're putting things in order for the people of God. And And I thank you that we as a church, God, the church body as a whole, get in alignment with you. So the harvest, Father God, can be harvested, because we're not out of line, we're in line with you. We can declare revival, we can declare an outpouring of your Spirit, God, but look, we have a responsibility to be in line with you. So Lord, I thank you right now in advance for touching the hearts and minds of each and every individual in here tonight. Thank you for the pastors that are in the house. Thank you for the ministers. I thank you for the evangelists. Thank you for the prophets, God. Lord, I thank you for the children, God, that you allow them to be children in their walk. Quit having labels of preacher's kids on them, that they got to act a certain way. Truth be told, we all act the same way. We just want to live our life and enjoy our life. So, Father, I just thank you that even in our circumstance, we can cry out from afar, and you can send a word of healing. But in our cry, we use the same cry to praise you as we return back to you. Let that be that prophetic word, God, that we're returning back to you, that the church is returning back to you. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. All of God's children said amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Josh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. I hate to transition out of this and then. Now, let me say it this way. I love to transition from here to another form of worship. Another form of worship. The form of worship that we're about to do is in our giving. In our giving. Oh, my God. Let me say it this way. You're about to seal the deal. You're about to put into perspective what the Lord has just done. How do you do that? By releasing by faith. Because you receive by faith. So in your tithes and your offering, just be obedient to God. The obedience that took place with the 10 lepers is they first prayed, did what was told, and in the process got healed. So you pray, do what God says, and watch the healing come forth. And when your breakthrough comes, don't forget to get back to the one that gave it to you. Amen. So what a blessing. What a blessing. I thank God for everything that he's doing. I thank God that he's put me back in line with what he wants me to do. Amen. So if it gets thin in here again, because it's about, remember I started preaching on sin and everybody started leaving. I said, Lord, if I'm going to do it, you got to be my provider. Got to do it. Amen. But whatever the case may be, I'm going to just trust him all the way through. Amen. Listen, it's a new year, 2016. I have a responsibility here as a church, with the church accounting, to make sure I get the tithes and offering recap to you. But also have responsibility to make sure that our software is up to date. So starting Sunday, we're going to have a table back there in the back, and we'll have someone register you in. I'm not doing it for numbers. I'm doing it to make sure I have all your correct information, just to update it. So I've already set up my little tablet so that they can go in. You can log in right to it. You can edit your details, whether your email changed, your phone number changed, or your address changed, your kids' birthdays, whatever the case may be, you can edit it there. It's going to be a process, but we'll get all that taken care of. We'll go through that every Sunday, okay? So not only that, when newcomers come in, they're able to go and log in, and we can get their information, and we can follow up with them. So that's one of the things that I really want to continue doing. So on Sunday, you'll see the table back there. Just please make sure that you get to that table as you come in, update your information, and we'll do it till we see that we've got everybody going through. Amen? You have your offering envelopes ready. All right, lift them up before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. As we give this seed unto you, we thank you that you've already done what you said you were going to do. You were going to rebuke the devourer for our sake. And Father, we gave of ourselves unto you first, and now we give, Father God, our offering unto you. Whether it be your tithe or your offering, Lord, I just thank you, God, that you receive it, because we give it with a willing heart. We thank you, God, that you bless it a hundredfold. rebuke the devourer, Father God, that may try to come. But Lord, open up the window of heaven and pour out a blessing that there's not even enough room to contain it. For if we've gotten stuff that was underneath the rug, we got it out. We gave it to you, God. Now let us walk on that path in order with you. We thank you for it, God, as we sow tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen, and you may serve the Lord. We will see you on Sunday. God bless you guys. Triton. All right. That second song.